When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Waukesha Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services at waukeshawracing.com.au.
Welcome one and all to Rally Sport Magazine's special stage podcast. With me today is Peter Whitten. Peter, can you believe it's episode 43 and we're this far into this podcasting journey of ours?
Yeah, g'day, Luke. It's great to be here again. Yeah, 43 episodes. That's it's gone quickly, hasn't it? But we enjoyed doing it, that's for sure. And hopefully the listeners enjoy tuning in every week to hear us waffle on.
You're exactly right, Peter. Talking about rallying is never a chore. And today we'll fly through plenty of topics. Safari Rally Kenya is one of them, as well as the Rally of Canberra, which opens the Australian Rally Championship season. First of all, though, the World Rallycross Championship is coming to Australia, as we all know, and as we've spoken about on the podcast, Peter, a few things will be coming up for our subscribers on that. Make sure you do so, rallysportmag.com, and get a subscription. I spoke to a couple of the people from the organisers of the event that will hopefully be based in New South Wales come December. They're working through things, and April is a big, big month for them as they tick off a number of things on the circuit and everything else that's involved in a huge FIA event. I know personally, Peter, that one is going to be on my calendar and one that I'm sure I'm not going to miss.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's certainly something that we haven't seen in Australia before, obviously, and rallycross that we haven't seen probably at this level ever, even though it has been popular at various points throughout the past 30 or 40 years down here. But, I'm looking forward to finding out what sort of competition we'll be seeing in terms of what cars, whether it's just the top line World Rallycross cars that are coming down or whether it's some support categories and how the Australian competitors can get involved and compete in, obviously not the main rallycross event, but the subsidiary events to that as well.
All of that's coming up on the Rally Sport Mag website. Please head there. Look out for it on your social media channels. And if you can, please subscribe as it helps to produce this podcast and also spread the word of the sport. Safari Rally Kenya, Peter, across the weekend. It was a tough event, a rough event, one that threw up many curveballs throughout the 3 or 4 days of competition. Do you think that the event is providing the challenge it needs to, being a classic event on the calendar?
I think it's starting to, Luke. Yeah, I mean, I think last year I said that the 2023 version of the Safari Rally wasn't a shadow of its former self. And this year they've moved the date forward in the year. So it was on the traditional Easter weekend for the Safari Rally. And we were expecting conditions that were a lot worse than what they were. In the end, there was virtually no rain for the entire event. But I think, yeah, it's getting back to what it traditionally was, and certainly reliability and endurance is a bigger part of the event now.
One of the things with the date change was the fact that there was the increased likelihood of rain to fall, and lots of rain was threatening to fall, but in the end it didn't. That's something that's out of the control of organisers. It's out of the control of everybody. Regardless of that, though, the roads were rough. You could say rougher than what they were in years past. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And there had been quite a bit of rain in the rally area in the lead up to the event. So we did see some footage in testing of the teams in lots and lots of deep water and mud. And I think that's probably had an effect on the roads. But Yeah, I know Gregoire Munster at one stage said that one of the stages on the Sunday was too rough and they shouldn't run it again. But I don't agree with that. I think the other drivers accepted the challenge that it was. And yeah, the roads are rough. But at the end of the day, it's up to the competitors to drive to the conditions. And that's traditionally what rallying has been about. While we do want to see a sprint from the start to the finish, it is about conserving your car, protecting your tyres and making sure you get to the finish. And the guys who did that and didn't have major problems were the ones who stood on the podium.
The guy at the top of that podium, Kalle Rovanperä from Toyota, it was the second event of his part-time program in this year's World Rally Championship. He won't be able to repeat his World Championship given that part program, but whenever he comes back to the championship, Peter, he's impressive, and this weekend was no exception.
It was, yeah, and he won every stage on the first real day of the rally on Friday, which just showed the class of Kalle Rovanperä. And I'll remind you last week that I did predict that he'd win after I'd had a shock of the first two rounds of the championship. But
yeah.
As it turned out, the conditions, yeah, they probably played into his favour a bit. He had a better starting position a bit further back on the road, and when the rain didn't come, that helped. But at the end of the day, he was the man who set the times. He didn't have any mechanical problems. He didn't have a puncture for the whole event, which I think was probably the only one of the Rally 1 cars who didn't suffer a puncture or a problem. So he got the benefit from that. But, yeah, another superb drive.
He might have won the event, but he only just scored the most points out of everybody. Given the Super Sunday scenario where extra points are given out for Sunday only and also extra points available for the power stage, something that's been around for years and years now, the gaps weren't big between the top drivers. Kalle got 20 points for being first, and then down the list, it was simply the gap of a singular point. You were the fifth highest point scorer, yet you were only 4 points behind the leader. Does that point system still trouble you, Peter, and confuse you as things move on?
100%. Yeah, I can't get my head around it, Luke, and to tell you the truth, it's probably an age thing, but I've stopped looking at the points until after the event and after the rally. I see who's leading the championship and what the gaps are. But, yeah, that's the way they've gone. I mean, what's your opinion? Do you think it's a good thing?
I think it's been confused in many ways. I know they explained it at the start and it was a difficult way of explaining things. But for us in Australia and for those that follow the Australian Rally Championship, it can be put down into some simple terms. Saturday and Sunday is Heat 1, Sunday is Heat 2, and then you've got the power stage. If you think of it in that format, the way that the Rally of Canberra will be done this weekend, you can make sense of it in some way. The points for Friday and Saturday versus the points for Sunday in a World Championship event are weighted differently, which is probably where the confusion comes in. But if you split it up into heats, Friday and Saturday is Heat 1 of the event, Sunday is Heat 2, and then you've got the power stage. It's some kind of way of getting some sense out of it, even though the end point scenario isn't as traditional as what we might have hoped.
Yeah, and that's the way you've explained it is certainly a bit clearer than what it's been explained by the WRC, and maybe they should take a leaf out of your book. But I still have an issue with it, the fact that that the guy who wins the rally won't necessarily get the most amount of points. And a guy like Ott Tänak, for example, who didn't do well in Finland, he had an issue where he hit a rock and retired from the event. He still got a reasonable amount of points for the weekend. And, okay, it probably makes his championship a bit more doable in terms of he's had a bad rally, but he's still got points. But I think, as you explained the other day, he's still a long way off the top point scorer, so it's going to be very, very difficult for him to win the championship.
Who do you think is the title favourite at this point? Thierry Neuville made it through the weekend. He was the guy who extended his championship lead despite fuel pump issues, despite punctures for him throughout the weekend. Do you think he's the man to beat?
Yeah, most definitely. I think Thierry Neuville is the clear favourite from where I sit. Hyundai have been fast early in the year, and even in Kenya they were fast. They had some reliability issues, and a good friend of ours, Luke Barry, who's a WRC journalist, he's written an article for us this week on some of Hyundai's problems that they had. And if you haven't listened to that or haven't read that, jump onto the website and check out Luke's article. But I think Thierry, I think he has that that extra little bit of speed compared to Elvin Evans. Evans has been consistent over a number of years, but I don't believe that he's got that out-and-out pace that a Neuville or a Tanak has. Evans is going to be up there for sure, certainly given reliability in the way the Toyota's performed. And I guess we can't forget that the smoky of the top three is Adrian Formeau driving the M Sport Puma. What a remarkable drive he had again in Kenya, where he didn't push hard. He just wanted to get to the finish, and like he did in Sweden, he ended up in third place.
It was a great performance by him. We've got to remember, like we spoke about on the podcast last week, that Neuville often gets defeat from the jaws of victory. He might have one of those or two of those throughout the season. If he's able to keep them at bay, he can keep his championship lead throughout the season and take that first title that really he's waited for a long time. But as we know, long time to go. Long season.
It really is Thierry's world championship to lose from this point. I mean, given that he's currently leading the championship after three events, Rovan Pair is not there for a full season. Tanak's had a disaster of a first three rallies. If Thierry Neuville can't win this year, it's either going to be bad driving or bad luck in terms of reliability from the car. So, yeah, I think it's his to lose.
And because the points system is so different this year, and as we explained a few minutes ago, the top five point scorers were separated by only 4 points or 5 points. So if you have a bad weekend, you can still capitalize and get some points where in traditional years and traditional point scoring formats, you might not have been able to. To the Rally of Canberra, the opening round of the Australian Rally Championship. It feels like we've been talking about this one for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it's finally here. We're heading off very, very shortly to the rally. What do you reckon, Peter, about this event? Do you have any thoughts? I'm sure you've got lots as we discuss things over the next little while.
Yeah, jumping out of our skin to get up there for sure. And just as we're recording this, we've just had the Tasmanian contingent head up through Wangaratta, where we're based, and the Peterson team and the Les Walkden rallying truck have called in to say good day. So it's going to be a wonderful weekend. It's been dry and dusty up there, like it has been in a lot of, I guess, parts of the east coast of Australia. But the weather's going to change this weekend. I think you've had a look at the forecast.
Yeah, day by day, as you look at the forecast for Canberra, it gets worse and worse. Friday and Saturday are the days where there's going to be lots of rain by the looks of it, up to 25 millimetres of rain. When you have rain, it makes it tougher, makes it harder. The conditions are less consistent when you're talking about the gravel roads, particularly around Canberra. And add in a new control tyre that nobody's got great experience on in the dry, let alone in the wet. So it's a big number of unknowns.
Yeah, and perhaps the biggest unknown of that is going to be for Harry Bates, who'll start the first car on the road on Saturday in a brand new Rally 2 Yaris. If the conditions are wet and raining, he's going to be the pioneer on every corner to see how wet it is and how much grip there is. So that that could be work against Harry and might play into the hands of his brother Lewis and certainly Eddie Maguire and Scott Petter in their Skodas.
For those that aren't aware, typically Harry, as first car on the road this weekend, would be sweeping the gravel clear, clearing a cleaner and faster line for those behind him. On a gravel road, you've clearly got all the loose stones and the loose gravel on the top of the surface. Harry would have to deal with that as first on the road in dry conditions, whereas a car that's sixth or seventh or eighth on the road has a much cleaner line and a much grippier line to be able to get traction from. Whereas when it's wet, that's nullified, and often it's the first car on the road that has the best conditions, given things will churn up over a number of different passes of cars on the stages.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, the one thing in Harry's favour is his familiarity with those roads up there. I mean, clearly being a Canberra local, he knows them like the back of his hand, but he'll be coming to grips with whatever conditions are thrown at him, but also this brand new car that they've only tested once last week. So it's going to be a challenge for him. And while I think most people will expect that the new Rally 2 car to go out there and be the fastest, I'm not necessarily sure that's going to be the case. And I think for Harry, a top three result over the weekend might be a pass mark.
Really? That's quite low expectations for a guy who's been the fastest over a number of years and who's won a lot of the events that he's competed in.
Yeah, it perhaps is. And really, Harry, in theory, probably should be the fastest guy out there. But as I said, it's an unknown car to him. And yeah, he's done some testing in it, but they'll be learning all the way through the event. And it's everything that they've learnt and developed in the AP4 car over the last 3 years won't necessarily transfer straight to that Rally 2 car. And the weather just throws that another curveball into the mix. And we know that the Skodas a proven package. The drivers in the Skodas know those cars quite well now and have made some improvements over the last few months. And I think I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's not a Harry Bates standing on the podium at the end of the rally.
You spoke to Harry's co-driver, Coral Taylor, yesterday about how the test went last week after they launched the car at the Australian Grand Prix. What did she say about that? And did she give you any comparisons about the AP4 car versus the new car that they're driving this year?
No, she didn't. I mean, technicality is not Coral's strong suit, I guess. I mean, she said that the test went really well. She said there was some changes made on the day, pretty much to suit Harry, where Harry liked some of the Rally 2 aspects better than the AP4 car and vice versa. She said we'd have to speak to Harry to get the technicality stuff out of it. We haven't been able to get in touch with Harry today, so we're still waiting to chat to him. But yeah, according to her, everything was going on track and to plan. And yeah, we just wait and see. And it'll be great to see the car in the flesh for the first time.
You might be unsurprised to see Harry on the top step of the podium, but do you have a prediction of who will win the rally? We know it's a sprint event. So as many of the Australian Rally Championship events are, they're split into 2 days. So heat one is its own set of points. At the end of Saturday, those points are locked away. And then Sunday is a brand new event, essentially. They start from zero and we go again with the power stage at the end of the event. Who do you think is going to be the winner come the end of the rally, which, unlike in the WRC, is on total points rather than total time? So the most amount of points across the weekend will be crowned the winner of the rally. Who do you think that'll be?
Well, if you believe what he says, I mean, I think Eddie Maguire is the guy who potentially could win the rally. I mean, they've made some huge improvements with that Skoda. For those who haven't read the article we had up on the website yesterday, it was found after last season that the suspension in that Skoda Fabia actually had valving for tarmac conditions rather than gravel conditions. So that would have made a huge difference and clearly was one of the reasons that Harry Bates struggled in the car a bit at Rally New Zealand back in 2022. So with the suspension now upgraded to what it should be, Eddie has made some huge step forward in the car. He says it's a lot easier to drive. He feels a lot more comfortable in it, and he's going out there to win. So, yeah, maybe he's the man.
It's a bold tip, given Eddie hasn't won an Australian round before. He's a Targa Tasmania winner and an insanely talented driver. You'd have to think it's one of the Brates brothers. So from my point of view, Lewis has the same car as what he drove last year. He's very comfortable in it. He's only got the one variable to deal with. That's the new tyre, whereas his brother has two variables to deal with, a new car and a new tyre. I think Lewis might be the guy, to be honest. Harry might be there on pace, but it's a new car. As we know, he's got to be able to learn that and drive it to it accordingly. Whereas Lewis has less on his mind, you might say, when you're thinking about new elements to come, also the rain too.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Lewis has probably got a bit of a point to prove after losing the championship by only a handful of seconds at the end of last year. And having the AP4 car for the first two events for this year, he'll be certainly hitting the ground running, I'm sure, and with his event in the Rally 2 car starting at Rally Portugal in May, he's going to want to get out there and really, as I said, hit the ground running and put his best foot forward.
Away from the outright class or the outright placings in the Rally of Canberra, the Production Cup entry is a record amount of cars. 19 of them will compete in the rally. Molly Taylor is the leading entry in her Subaru. Ryan Williams was another guy who was seated highly, but he's out of the event. Unfortunately, budget constraints have made him withdraw his entry from the rally. It leaves guys like Aidan Peterson and Mick Harding. Mick's a sponsor of the event, and Josh Weedman, who's stepping up from the junior class to be some of the leading drivers in the Production Cup. It's going to be hard to bet against Molly and her experience in that car.
It sure is. And we know Molly's class and the class of that vehicle. I mean, it's a multi-$100,000 vehicle that she's driving. And I guess that's one of the strange parts of the production cup to me is the fact that is Molly's driving a late model Subaru, which, as I said, is several hundred thousand dollars to build that car and to get it to where it is now. And she's running against a guy like Aidan Peterson, who's running in a mid-2000 Subaru. So there's really not a lot of comparison in those vehicles in terms of obviously the year model, but the performance and the technology and stuff like that. So it is an interesting one. And I think on that fact alone, Molly is clearly the favourite. But as we saw last year, Taylor Gill was quicker than Molly at Rally of Canberra as well in an older model Subaru. So it just goes to see how things pan out over the weekend. And in Canberra, the ruggedness of the stages always has a big impact on the results as well, and that could quite easily be the case this weekend.
It does, and I'm sure it will for the juniors as well. In particular, Mitch Garrod and Jaden Gluskiak, the two competitors in the junior class, they'll have to use all their experience to try and navigate these roads and get through them cleanly and fast as well. In the classics, Trevor Stilling, David Thompson, Peter Dimmick, they're all in varying cars, and it's the classics that are probably the class that's jumped up the most on last year. There's some extra prize money for the classics, and if we're to believe some reports that there's going to be more classics as the season continues on, what do you think that might be, Peter, that the classics have jumped up a notch this year?
Well, I think firstly, just touching on the juniors, I mean, it's great to see Mitch Garrod and Jaden Gluskiak running, and they're both in Subaru RS cars, so they're both in the similar vehicle. So it'll be great to see which guy has the leading pace there. But in terms of the classics goes, I mean, we could probably call it the veterans as well, because, I mean, Trev Stilling, Dave Thompson and Pete Dimmick, I mean, they're all 50-plus guys who have been successful in their businesses and have gone out and they want to run the ARC and compete in cars that they grew up driving, I guess. So I think that's one of the reasons the classics has become popular. It is great to see them out there. They're not going to be the fastest guys in the field by any means, but Stilling's Datsun Stanza, Thompson's Ford Capri Piranha, a V8 car, and Pete Dimmick's Datsun 260Z. It'll be great to see those cars, even though they'll be back towards the tail of the field.
What else are you looking forward to in Canberra, Peter? A lot of it's the same as what we saw at the end of November last year. The stages are very tricky. The Cowan Forest stuff is always rough and tough, and it's a difficult one to get through unscathed. What have you got in your head or in your mind to think about as the weekend goes on, and what should listeners be looking out for as the weekend goes on?
I think it's going to be, for me, Luke, just the competitiveness of the outright competition. I mean, we've got, as we've mentioned, we've got the two Toyotas of the Bates brothers. We've got the two Maguires in Skodas. We've got Scott Petter back in a Skoda Fabia. He's going to be super fast. We've got Alex and Peter Rullo in their Hyundai Rally 2 cars. Molly Taylor, Jamie Luff, Tom Clark's back in his Ford Fiesta R5. So the quality of cars at the top of the ARC field now is better than what it's been for many, many years, and maybe perhaps ever, depending on how far back you want to go. But certainly the top 10 or 12 cars certainly could be looked at as potential top five finishers. And you even look at a guy like Josh Redhead, who's stepping up from the Lancer Evo into the Hyundai i20 G4 that Nathan Quinn's driven in the past couple of seasons. There's huge raps on Josh in terms of being a talented driver, and I'm very keen to see how he goes as well.
So am I. It promises to be a great weekend in Canberra. If you're in Canberra, go and have a look. The service park is at Epic in the northern suburbs of Canberra. Go and take a look at that. There's a ceremonial start in Gungahlin on Friday night, and then the stages are in the Tibimbilla area and then the Cowan Forest out towards Queanbeyan on Sunday. Feel free to go out, have a look. The cars will impress you, and I'm sure everything else about the Australian Rally Championship as it grows year on year will impress you, as the sport of rallying does for many, many people. Peter, thank you for your time, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody in Canberra.
Absolutely, Luke. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's going to be a fantastic weekend. Let's hope the rain maybe comes before the rally and not during the rally, so that the conditions are fair and even for everyone. But either way, it's going to be a tremendous battle.
Hey, it's Mozzie here. I don't have much experience when it comes to rallying, but Waukesha Racing Services does. And they're available now for your rally needs. They can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication. No job is too big or too small. There's CNC machines, 3D printers, a chassis build shop, and paint and engine shop that you can utilize. And you don't need to be an Aussie champion or factory back to be able to. From club to state to national level competitors and car owners, let Walkinshaw Racing Services help you with your rally needs. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services at walkinshawracing.com.au.